Our text today comes out of John 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs that you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again." "How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. But still, you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things that you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things? No one has gone into heaven except the one who came from heaven, the Son of Man. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that everyone who believes may have eternal life in him. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, some of us carry our biggest questions quietly. We talk about the weather, we talk about kids, grandkids, taxes, ball games, and the latest mess on the news, but we won't say the one thing that's at the forefront of our thoughts. We won't say, "I'm not sure I'm okay." We won't say, "I have tried so hard to change and I'm still me." We learn how to sound confident. We learn how to keep our doubts respectable. We learn how to smile in daylight while we wrestle in the dark. That's kind of why I have a soft spot for Nicodemus. He doesn't come to Jesus in front of the crowd. He comes at night. Night is where you go when you don't want anyone watching. Night is also where you go when your soul won't let you sleep anymore. Nicodemus is a Pharisee, a leader, a teacher, a man with religious credentials. If anyone could have said, "I've got faith figured out," it would have been him. Yet there he is, stepping into the dark to find the light. He starts politely. He tells Jesus that he can see God's hand on him. He's not hostile. He's searching. He's cautious, but he's honest enough to want to know the truth. So he came. And before Nicodemus can even get his question all the way out, Jesus meets him with a sentence that sounds like a door slamming and a window opening all at the same time. Jesus says you can't see the kingdom unless you're born again. Born from above. Nicodemus hears that like most of us would if we're tired and literal. He pictures physical rebirth and he asks, how can that be? And you know he's got to be thinking, I'm old. My life is already built. My habits are set. My story is written. But Jesus doesn't give him a checklist. He doesn't say, try harder. Study more. He says you must be born again. Now for many of us, that can be irritating. We like plans. In fact, we love plans. We'd like Jesus to hand us a spiritual to-do list with measurable steps. If we could earn our way into peace, we'd try. If we could achieve our way into holiness, we'd grind it out. But Jesus talks about birth, not construction. Birth is not something you accomplish. Birth is something that happens to you. Someone else carries the power for it. Lent is the season that tells the truth about that. Lent doesn't flatter our ego. Lent presses us to look at the real us, the defensive us, the tired us, the I know better, but I keep doing it us. Lent puts us in the mirror and asks, how's that working for you? We can give up chocolate and still be bitter. We can read a chapter a day and still be full of fear. Lent is honest enough to say the problem isn't just what we do, it's what we are. And we cannot fix that from the outside in. You know, a lot of us were raised around faith, and that is absolutely a gift. But it's also a trap. It's a gift because you learn the stories, the prayers, the habits of worship. It's a trap because we start assuming proximity equals life. We sit in church for decades and can still be running on fumes. We can know the language and miss the living God. Nicodemus proves that. He's not ignorant. He's trained. Yet Jesus tells him that information isn't the same as transformation. Lent invites us to ask a brave question. Have I been living on borrowed faith? Or have I received new life for myself? And notice how Jesus treats Nicodemus's misunderstanding. He doesn't mock him for asking. He doesn't shut him down for being slow. Jesus keeps drawing the circle wider. And you must be born again. Turns to God loved the world. That's how grace works. It doesn't wait until you've got the right vocabulary. It meets you mid-sentence, mid-question, mid-fear, and it keeps moving toward you. If you've ever thought, I don't know enough to come to God, this text says otherwise. Come anyway. Jesus tells Nicodemus this new birth is of water and the Spirit. However you understand the water, Jesus makes one thing clear. The Spirit is the one who gives life. Flesh gives birth to flesh. Spirit gives birth to spirit. You can produce what you already are, but you can't produce what you need. You can't manufacture a new heart. You can't inherit it because your family's name is on the church roll. You can't achieve it because you've kept the rules longer than the next person. Jesus looks a good religious man in the eye and says, being a good religious man is not the same as being alive from above. Then Jesus brings up the wind. You can hear it, but you can't control it. You see what it does, but you can't grab it. It comes and it goes where it pleases. And Jesus says, the Spirit is like that. And that's a very comforting thought because it means that the Spirit can reach us. Reach places in us we cannot reach. It's unsettling because it means we don't get to manage God. We don't get to schedule grace. Nicodemus doesn't get it. And Jesus doesn't shame him at the door, but Jesus does challenge him. Notice what he does next. He keeps talking. He keeps teaching. He keeps inviting. God doesn't wait for you to understand everything before he moves toward you. God doesn't say, come back here when you're smarter. Jesus speaks into Nicodemus's confusion with truth and with patience. Then Jesus points Nicodemus to the wilderness story about Moses lifting up the snake. The people were dying, and God made a way for them to live. They didn't earn it. They looked, they trusted, they received what God provided. Jesus says his own lifting up will work like that. In the same way God met people in their wilderness then, God will meet the world through Jesus now. And this is where the passage turns from night to sunrise. Jesus says God loved the world. Not just the religious world, not just the clean world, not just the world that already understands. God loved the world. The whole tangled, mixed up, stubborn, beautiful, sinful world. God's love doesn't stop at the church door. It doesn't stop with the people who vote like you or think like you. God loved the world. And that means the person you've written off, the person who can't get their life together. And yes, that means you. And because God loved, God gave. God doesn't send Jesus as a threat. God sent Jesus as rescue. Jesus says the Son wasn't sent to condemn the world, but to save it. Some of us have heard faith framed as if God's posture is disgust, and if we don't perform, he'll finally have an excuse to crush us. That isn't the heart of the gospel. The gospel says God saw a world drowning and threw himself in after it. That doesn't mean sin isn't sin. Jesus doesn't pretend darkness is harmless. But Jesus names God's purpose, not condemnation. Jesus names God's salvation. Condemnation says you're hopeless and you're on your own. Salvation says, you're broken, and I've come for you. The cross tells the truth about sin, and it tells the truth about love at the same time. So what does that mean for us in Lent? It means we stop pretending we can manage our own rebirth. It means we bring our night questions into the presence of Jesus. It means we stop leaning on family faith like it's a bank account we've inherited. It means we stop leaning on good behavior like it can raise the dead. Lent isn't about proving you're serious. Lent is about making room to receive what only God can give. Some of you have been in church your whole life and you still feel like Nicodemus, polite, faithful, and quietly unsure. Some of us are just tired. Some of us are tired of trying. We've tried habits and willpower, and we keep circling the same mountain. But hear me, Jesus isn't asking you to do something impossible. He's telling you there's a birth that comes above, and it doesn't comes from above, and it doesn't depend on your strength. That's why the wind image matters. We can't make the wind blow. But we can open a window. We can't force the Spirit, but we can surrender. We can pray, Lord, I don't even know what I need, but you do. We can confess that we've been trying to run our own salvation. We can come to Jesus like Nicodemus came, cautious, uncertain, honest, and present. And we can trust that God's love will not wait on our perfect understanding. Believing isn't mental gymnastics. Believing is trust. It's leaning your weight on Jesus. It's letting your identity be rooted in what God says about you, whether than what you've done or what's been done to you. It's admitting that you can't save yourself and letting Jesus be Savior. And if you're wondering, what if I don't feel different right away? Birth is a beginning. It's not the finish line. The Spirit makes you alive, and then the Spirit keeps shaping you. Grace doesn't just forgive you, it forms you. Over time, the Spirit teaches us to love what we once ignored, to tell the truth where we once hid, to live with courage where we once lived with fear. Nicodemus won't stay in the dark forever. If you keep reading John, you'll see him again. You'll see him speak up and you'll see him show up. And that's often how grace works. It starts in the night with questions and it ends with a person standing in the light, changed. So I'll ask you what I've asked myself. Where are you trying to achieve what God wants you to receive? Where are you leaning on the faith you inherited instead of the faith you're receiving right now? What part of your life feels like wilderness where you can't fix it, where you can't control it, where you're finally ready to admit you need help? Jesus isn't scared of our questions. He doesn't back away from us because we came at night. He meets us there, and he speaks the same truth with the same love. You must be born from above. Not as promise, not as punishment, but as promise. Not as condemnation, but as invitation. Not as something we achieve, but something we receive. Yeah, let's let Lent do its work. Let's clear out the clutter. Let it expose lies. Let it humble our pride without crushing our spirit. And then open the window. Ask the Spirit to breathe life where you've grown dry. Receive the love that moved toward you before you understood it. And trust that the God who loved the world will not give up on you. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord, thank you for meeting us where we are. Thank you for loving us before we understood it. As we go from this place of worship, help us trust the work of your Spirit within us. Give us courage to release control, humility to receive grace, and faith to walk in the new life you provide. May your love shape our thoughts, our words, and our actions in the days ahead. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.